Hi, I am excited to talk with you guys today. Thanks for being here, and I have some things on my mind I want to share, and I'm hoping I can be brave to do so. It's taken some prayer and some thought on what I should share and speak about today, and it's gonna be a good one. I've learned a lot, and I'm excited to talk about these truths of the gospel that are important for probably you even right now. I think we're all feeling a little bit of positivity with the new year and some hope. And what comes with that positivity and hope is some adversity, and that's hard. And like they say, there's is the when you first start beginning a serious study of the Book of Mormon, you will have that peace and hope and that light in your life almost instantly, right? And I found that to be true, that the adversary is also instantly there too. And so I'll jump in. And I have a couple of stories to share, and I felt like, oh, should I share these stories? Are these going to be too personal, a little bit too much for those that listen? Or I don't know, but I did feel a calm feeling that I should somewhat share the story, because that's how it helps the truths come. It helps paint a picture and give context of what I'm wanting to say, and it just doesn't hit as powerfully unless you share a little bit more of the story. And so that's where I'm going to start. So I had this post a little while ago on Instagram, a story, and it's talking about President Eyring saying to remember, remember. And he said that, and I liked the idea of it, meaning that remembering we have that truth and that light, and that we've experienced those things before, and that kind of becomes like a testimony to us. But then remember again, and you know, the scripture, there are many scriptures that say that, remember, remember. And I never put that together, that there's a reason why it's probably, it says it twice. And that the second time of remembering is really, you know what it was in that past. If you're ever doubting, you know what that was. But now, if you remember again, you really remember in the way that you felt, you can then have that conversion back to God, to our Savior, to help make a strong decision and a smart decision on what the Spirit's really telling you. And it's just cool, because it had kind of that idea of testimony and conversion there. Remember and then remember. And I posted that on social media, and I felt like it was the right thing to do, because it felt like a really cool thing I had found, and mustered up the courage to do so. And I had also explained that I have loved ones who aren't of the faith and that have forgotten that, and I mourn over that, and I would hope for them to have that love and light again. And I had that post, and I let it be for even a day. I didn't even check back and see how it went. And when I went back on there, and I had seen that it was just fine and quiet, except for one major direct message from someone that I have been acquainted with before, and it was met with some backlash, some major backlash on her part, and my heart sank, and I felt saddened. And a little bit of context to the story: she had, over the past year or two, she most of our interactions had been more negative. Anytime I'd put something about the church, not anytime, but anytime she would friendly comment, it was about something with the church or sensitive LGBTQ subjects, and she would come in and explain things in a negative way to me. And it just did not seem like it was a constructive way to go about it, and it seemed like it was meant to come and prove a point to me. And I felt that through the screen that way. You know, these are relationships, but when there's that much negativity, it becomes disheartening that this isn't working anymore as far as a online friendship goes. And I want to protect my peace. And going on and seeing her explain the things that she did, as if I haven't given it some thought, that yes, it is more complex than just remembering when someone chooses to leave the church. And I feel saddened for her that it has been a hard thing for her, and that all that she's gone through, but kind of putting some words in my mouth that I think people are deceived and I think people just don't try harder. I know it to be something more than that. I talk with these family members about these things. However, I am not going to be so vague and plain to never say on my social media space that I have people in my life like that. I know, and they've even told me they have a testimony and they would like to choose to feel that again. They just won't and can't, whatever, at that moment in time. And I respect that for them, and I'm trying to love that through with them. That's why I made the huge trip to go visit family. And I try to do that and keep those relationships strong and not have it be about the faith, but it's about them. But definitely her trying to find validation with me and trying to be on, I feel like, a little bit of a crusade over these past few interactions to prove a point to me where I will stand for truth. And it was very powerful to me to be in that space where I am a people pleaser, and sometimes I wonder, am I the first one that made the wrong move? And it felt reassuring, and I felt God tell me, you did not. This is truth, and you did not do anything wrong. And she is hurt, and she was triggered, and that was hard. And it made me feel like I just want to keep sharing these truths of the gospel. That people might take it hard, but they are true and they are right, and I will always stand by that. And my faith is strengthened because now I know it to be something that needs to be shown more, because people need it. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the answer. He is the only one that's going to soften hearts, soften hurt feelings and regrets, and any other philosophies of the alphabet, of DEI, of anything out there right now is not the answer. Those conversations are complicated and they are hard to navigate. And that's what was led me to believe that I needed to go further on my interactions with her, that this was actually pretty vanilla style post I had made. Basics of the gospel, honestly, trying to share that you have may have felt this before. Try to remember and try to see if you can keep into that light again in remembering. And that's what was, it showed to me, and I took some time to evaluate that, and I knew I needed to take a block to her because it just wasn't working. And that was a hard decision to make. And because she was going to probably continue to keep commenting. And I was going to keep having that backlash. And that was going to bring me down in negativity that is not meant for me and not meant for anyone. And it's not done in a constructive light. And that's what's hard about the other side. More of the... I'm not saying all of that group, but there is definitely a radical side on the other side of the spectrum of people that don't believe in what I do, that they have to go at it in a certain way to grill it in you, and to take some personal blows, and to not think very clearly and do it in a way that is civil. So kind of with that, those lines too, it's interesting when you finally hit these moments and these trials that these words of the prophets kind of start to surface. They actually become useful in actual shields for you to use and help you through these hard times. And it was so much this way in the Peacemakers talk with President Nelson. He had talked, he's talked about April 2023 that we are to watch out for contention, because he says here, contention drives away the spirit every time. Contention reinforces the false notion that confrontation is the way to resolve differences, but it never is. Contention is a choice. Peacemaking is a choice. You have your agency to choose contention or reconciliation. I urge you to choose to be a peacemaker now and always. And it's, he goes on to say, as you manage these honest differences of opinion, you should do so with that mutual respect and dialogue. And I just did not feel that. So I had to make that decision to end it. And that was hard. It didn't end though there. She emailed me and felt like she noticed I had blocked her, and I just knew where it was going, that there was going to be more fighting and contention, and I did not want to respond to that. I did say thank you for your insight, and then I stopped there. In the past, I had maybe explained a little bit. I understand where you're coming from. I just feel like people might take it too far, things like that, and just keep them short. And then she would one time sent me something, kind of trying to show me, and I really don't know her that well, so I feel like a little bit intrusive as far as what a relationship should be when we're just acquaintances. But she went on to email me, and that's where my heart sank even further. Oh my goodness, there's more that I need to manage here. So I had to look at that and not react, but to take a moment and really think it through. And it's hard, because I felt the natural man want to lash out as well and want to be unhappy and show where it's wrong. I had quoted a prophet, I had quoted an apostle. I was speaking truth. You put words in my mouth. You've gone a little too far, things like that. But I thought about even ignoring it, but I knew I needed to say something, at least just small, because she had taken that time even to find my email and email me, which is even a little concerning. So I took my email off Instagram, but I just don't want that in my life, right? And I don't think anyone would. I do believe in open conversation. Like I say, I am not opposed to that. And for anyone listening, it is there. Let's talk, but let's do it in a dignified way. Let's do it in a way where we can see each other's differences, but not bringing baggage from other people. Things are so polarized right now and so sensitive. It blows up so quickly. I have full preparation in my heart right now, knowing that I may even get backlash for this. Thus, I still need to share, and that then it might mean that I need to share even more, because the adversary is on me even more, because I'm trying to speak truth. I'm trying to speak out of love and what is right, not because I'm right and look at me, but it's because Christ is right. He stood for those things. He knew what is the best for those people, and that he loved them, and only he can give them that hope if they remember and if they choose. And it's not enough love just to say, you do you. You just keep doing that, but to keep inviting and gentle persuasion that they can have that love and light again if they choose to be converted back to him. That it's all going to be about him. We can have that dialogue. And also to manage dialogue, as he says here in President Nelson's talk, if there's anything lovely, virtuous, or of good report, or praiseworthy, that we can say about another person, whether to his face or behind her back, that that should be our standard of communication. So I'm trying to explain that here, even with her, just stating the facts here, and I'm not trying to say anything in the bad way about her. I just want to have this clear story that could be powerful, because it's been powerful for me, that our standard of communication should be kind and clear. And kind and clear doesn't mean you do it with malevolent compassion. Honestly, these ideas that we need to accept all is compassion. It's not if it's truly for their goodness, for them to choose a certain life or a certain way. That's not true compassion. To just let them and never say anything and just support, and then even to be someone who preaches that and becomes an advocate for that lifestyle, that identity. I won't stand there, and I know that to be different and better, a different way to go, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I knew at that point I needed to respond, and I made it short, and I knew I needed to, and I took time to think about it, because I wanted to not have contention, but to also set a clear boundary that it is not working. Our last few interactions have not been positive, or not been constructive, is what I meant to say. Things don't always need to be necessarily positive, but constructive, where it's useful and it makes headway in what we're going for, and it did not seem that way. And I'd actually seen that she is posted another and commented in other places across Instagram. Sometimes it pops up when you're friends with someone, those comments come up, and I had to make a educated decision, and that's what came up for me. And standing up for truth, because I think about, and I feel more invigorated to share the gospel in this way, with having this pushback, because I think about in the New Testament, the saints of the new church, Christ had passed away, and now it's up to the apostles and Peter and Paul and those early saints to push the work forward. And these small little congregations across Corinth, Philippi, Antioch, those different places, they were small congregations, and they were worried about those congregations. That's why we have all those letters to those saints. They had their faith strengthened because they were met with so much persecution. They were so small in number, but they started to grow because they faced so much persecution, especially in those Roman times and the pagan religions, where those cultural things have been going on for centuries, where they worship certain gods and they act and do certain things and they sacrifice, but these people were doing differently. They knew differently and they did differently. And they were persecuted beyond belief, and lost business, and lost friends and family, and killed. But that was the main thing that actually propelled them to be back to looking to God for their strength. And that's the whole paradox of it. You'd think this would be just actually a hard thing for someone, and it's not going to work out well, but it's the very thing that actually propels you back up and forward. Thus, in our end of times now, with all the complexities of dialogues on the internet and all the cutting retorts people do, and things that we should probably stay away from if it's not going to be useful, constructive, it's more just contentious, then it still creeps in. Like I'd saying, I had felt this protection around my home recently, but it had crept in and it's affected me. And I feel like I need to be protecting that peace and knowing where I should go forward for myself and my family. And it's projecting me forward. I feel like I want people to know Jesus Christ even more. I have felt that. And I know for certain people it hasn't. I know she had said that same thing, that it has not been a happy thing for her. And I don't understand her situation. And I don't understand a lot of everyone's situation. We all don't. And it's between them and God for sure. But it's all about keeping out of contention. On that note, let me share this too. I had felt I needed to share this with my son about Christ and his order of priorities of what he shared with the Nephites when he visited them, because he was having some problems with his friends. and how there's kind of a pecking order right now, and he could feel that, and that doesn't feel good, right? It's honestly what we do now in our adult lives. We have a pecking order of who's better, who's got it more figured out, and it's not good, right? It's not how it should be. And Christ knows that's not how it should be, because it is contention again. But it's so interesting. I love looking at it this way. If we were to think about it, Christ has a docket in his mind of what he needs to teach the people in America. This long-awaited time they were waiting for him to come, and the long-awaited time he wanted to come see them. Him thinking in his mind, what should I share with them? He still had to choose. Christ, we think of he has it all figured out. Yes, he really does, but he still had to choose what was the order of teaching them. And what he taught them when he came was, I am Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, and I've been sent by my Father, and him and I are one. So he declared the context, I am Christ. You've been waiting for me, and this is what I stand for. I am your Savior, and my God, your God, we together have made this happen, together to bring to pass the salvation of man, that we are to have you teach you so the, to look onto our Savior to be your Redeemer through all of the pains and sicknesses and the sins and hardships that you go through, not anything else. And this is how you do it. You be baptized in my name, and you choose, and you show that covenant to me that you choose me, and I have always chosen you, and you are to come to me, and God is giving you this plan to have eternal life. It's beautiful. It's so simple and beautiful, but it's in there in 3 Nephi 11. So after he does that, in verse 29, you think about, okay, I've now explained the main essence of the gospel. What am I to do now to teach them? Be baptized, blah, blah, blah. Now I need to teach you guys to not have contention. These things are to be done away, as in his words. Let me share it that way. As according as I have com Let's start in verse 28. According as I have commanded you, thus shall ye be baptized, and there shall be no disputations among you, as there have hitherto been, neither shall there be disputations among you concerning the points of my doctrine, as there have hitherto been. For verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hath the spirit of contention is not of me, but is of the devil, who is the father of contention, and he stirreth up the hearts of men to contend with anger one with another. That's the only way I could teach my son this, just having it point right back to Christ's words. This is what Christ said, and actually, it's happening today. All this craziness, there is an answer that we should have no contention. If we are to be his people, find another way to talk, find a better way to talk, make it clear and civil, and make it about love. And sometimes love is also truth. It's talked about in one of the talks. I don't know it, but there's this idea of truth. Love without truth is hollow, and truth without love is too strict. I think there's a certain word, like a little abrasive. So that really rung clear to me too, because it's all about these different identities and these heated subjects right now, whether it be guns, abortion, the LGBTQ. It's all the hard things of that we have to do. We have to think about that balance of both, but they're not just a balance, they're actually one. But still thinking about how we say things and put things. But it's hard. I don't do it perfect. I felt peace, so I know that it was probably, I navigated it and finally came to the right place where it needed to be, and the decisions I was trying to make. and reason being is because I had actually had some contentious online stuff happen a month or so before that, in 1 degree. So I decided then I needed to take things in a right way, and not jump on and say something and then say something. It's hard though, because you feel like, how could they feel that way? It's how can they not see? But it's not going to work online. So I hope this helps you guys, and I hope you are to think about your own self and where you stand in the church. And one more thing I want to say is, I felt, and I have felt before, and kind of just discerned that people may think, and kind of from what she was stand, from where she was coming from, that I haven't thought about this. That I have just been in the church and I've been blindly following. I might have that token look. I have blonde, blue hair, blue eyes, or blonde or blue eyes, and I've just always been in the church, and I haven't taken full thought on what I'm doing. That's not so. I've chosen this, and I still actively choose it every day. And I don't know what they have gone through. I don't know what people necessarily have gone through in their side. But I've made a choice, and they've made a choice. And that's just as valid, and I feel like it's turned on its head how I live in a place where everyone's LDS. But so much more can still be done, that we can still stand for that truth, because now it's all turning inward of people leaving, and it's more of a cool trend to not believe and to question. But I feel confident in my feelings that these fruits of the Spirit, how my life is going and feeling, it's the right way to go. And I've also had crises in the past where I've turned to Christ, and He has made it whole and healed it, and He continues to do so. And I can't deny that. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I love it. It's given me life. It's everything. And I know that as these times go, we can't be on the fence about it. I guess I felt a little bit like, wow, in that natural man side of me, wow, like, of course I've chosen, and I understand this, because we're in a day of age where if you haven't, then you've already chosen. Like, it's kind of, you can't be halvesies right now. It's so crazy. And last thing too, I guess I keep having last things to say, but is to heed the Spirit and what it tells you. And in that situation, it told me to step away. And other times, it may tell me to say something, or to just listen, and also to not be part of certain things, like the entertainment I was talking about before. It's harder to step away from that when everyone might be watching, doing it, being part of that, but stepping away. But anything you can do to heed the Spirit right now, anything you can do is a good thing right now. It's all on the line right now. 2024 is such a big year, and we have to make our choice, and we need this constant guiding Spirit right now. In the smallest things, we're going to need to know it maybe quicker than usual. So that reservoir of oil that we've saved through our consistent actions of doing what we should and being obedient, and it will come to a point where it was worth it, because we had heeded those times before. We listened, and we know the language of the Spirit, and we'll be able to navigate tough times ahead. So I have to leave you guys that in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Because I know them to be true. Hope you guys have a great day.